welcome to Scary Savannah and Beyond. Unfortunately, this week, our computer decided to die on us, so we were unable to record a new episode. So in order to not leave you hanging, we're going to release one of our Patreon episodes for this particular weekend. Thankfully, everything's back up and running, so we'll be back on our normal schedule with the upcoming episodes. Thank you for listening to Scary Savannah and Beyond. Welcome to Scary Savannah and Beyond. This is going to be the start of a new Patreon-themed series I like to call Ghosts.
How inventive.
Well, I spent a lot of time thinking about it.
I was going to say, how long did that take you to come up with?
It took me about 3 hours, and then I formed a focus group on Twitter of a whole bunch of esteemed paranormal investigators, and I said, what would be the best name for this series? And a lot of things were floated around. And then we eventually decided that none of this happened. So I just called it Ghosts.
Okay.
It's pretty impressive, right?
That's really impressive.
It's right to the point.
Yeah.
Nobody's confused about what this is about.
You reminded me of Kylie.
Really? Because I told that long story to get to not much of an answer.
Yeah, she called me last night and talked for literally 40 minutes. And how many words did you hear me say? You were sitting next to me.
And two of those were duplicate words.
Yeah.
It was mostly her spending 40 minutes asking Crystal to come paint her garage for her.
Yeah, that's what I got out of it.
Good times. Exciting stuff.
So you know what we're doing Saturday.
Oh, I know what you're doing Saturday.
You're coming with me.
No, I'm probably going to be very busy doing one of my many new projects that I'm working on.
There'll be ping pong involved.
Okay, I'll be there.
I know.
So we decided to start another series to maybe talk about more than just cryptids, and we're going to go back sort of to the roots of the podcast and focus on some paranormal stuff. Even though cryptids are paranormal, this is straight up ghostly type stuff that we're talking about now.
So like white sheet.
Exactly.
Like you see Casper. So we're talking about Casper.
Yeah. Well, you know how I talked about Casper last year. Mm-hmm. It was a big deal for me to really delve deep into the lore and the mythos of Casper, the friendly ghost.
Maybe Gus. The Friendly Ghost.
I love
that,
book.
I just thought of that
purple.
Book. Yeah, I love
and there was
book.
A mouse in it. Mm-hmm. And I love that little mouse.
Yeah.
We're hardcore horror ghost aficionados, as you can tell.
How is that not a ripoff of Casper, or which one of them came out first?
I think Gus was actually written a long time ago, but the Casper is old too.
Yeah, I know.
So I'm going to go with they're both ripping off each other. Some weird paradox.
So which one would you get on Wish? Like you ordered which one and the other one comes on Wish?
Probably Gustav. The knowledgeable acquaintance. It would just be like the mashup of both
and
of them.
Instead of just a white bed sheet, it's got little flowers on it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
With a whole bunch of eyes cut in the wrong places.
Well, that's Charlie Brown. Now we're ripping off something else.
So our first ghost story on this series will be based out of a small town in southwest Wisconsin called Ridgeway. The last time they reported the population, it was around 600 people, so it is a tiny little place. And this ghost is a little strange, as it seems it's one of the few in recorded history that has supposedly actually killed people.
Wow.
What we're talking about is the Ridgeway Phantom of Wisconsin.
What makes something a phantom rather than a ghost, or is it the same thing?
I think that it's probably synonymous. Maybe, but I thought phantom sounded better.
Oh, okay.
And
so you made that up.
And I saw that term being used in a few different places that I researched. So it's got the same, it's sort of used interchangeably. The definitions might vary. But for the purposes of our story and my limited intellect, we're going to say they mean the same thing.
Okay, so phantom is ghost.
Indeed.
Wearing a white sheet.
Yes.
Okay.
With little floral pattern on it.
Okay.
In Ridgeway, there's a 20-mile stretch of road out in the farmlands known infamously as U.S. Route 151.
Spooky.
It lies between Dodgeville and Blue Mounds. Before we get into the who and the what of this ghost is, let's talk about a bit of its history, shall we?
Let's do.
The village of Ridgeway was founded sometime in the mid-1800s. And it seems as soon as the town was formed, ghost encounters started happening. This area of Wisconsin really started to explode in the 1800s, with many people coming to the area to work in the lead mines. What a great job. Doesn't that sound amazing?
Yeah.
It's like, well, I'm in the asbestos fields and he's in the lead mines. And they're making this area their home. As this was early in American history, there was quite a bit of lawlessness with our favorite, saloons, gambling, and wilderness.
I never go into the wilderness.
I avoid it every chance I get unless, of course, I can do it. I love the wilderness. You know that, especially the woods. Which I guess is the wilderness, or maybe it's just the woods. Who knows?
Let's define the term difference between woods and wilderness,
though. What is it with you wanting me to like define all the terminology?
I need a visual here.
Okay, think about the plains.
So wilderness is just wide open nothingness, or is there lots and lots of trees?
Well, the technical term for it is I don't know.
Okay.
But we're going to say it's whatever you want it to be in your mind.
So it's Little House on the Prairie, what I'm visualizing here.
I've never seen that, so I don't know exactly how it occurred, but we'll say okay, that's exactly like that.
Okay, so we have some woods.
Some woods, some houses,
some
plains, maybe some lava fields.
Okay, but do we have prairie dogs?
Sure.
Because
it sounds like something that would be in Wisconsin.
A prairie dog. They're super cute.
That's sort of what Coffee looks like when she stands up. Or is that a gopher?
That's both.
And like in most stories we hear about from this period, the law wasn't really equipped at that time to deal with all of the crazy shenanigans that was going on in this area. On May 1st, 1913, there was a fire in Ridgeway that burned most of the buildings in the city, which included the bank, the post office, and even the train depot. It did a tremendous amount of damage, and in today's dollars, I read that it was around $3 million worth of damage.
Oh, that's a Savannah level.
So back then,
fire.
It was probably $40 to $50 worth of damage, is what I'm thinking.
I wonder what would happen to everyone's money that was in that bank. It's just gone. Like, there's no backing it up.
If they actually had money to begin with, or if they just told them they did.
Well,
we
be better
ain't drawing it out
there.
Now. The FDIC don't exist, so you ain't
like,
getting
nothing.
Or did they have,
actual gold, and does gold burn?
Well, they used to have a silver standard, I think, where you like the federal government had to have on hand either gold or silver in the amount equal to the currency in circulation.
Well, what temperature does gold burn?
At a very, very high temperature.
Yeah, so
but it still melt at a certain point.
And silver would be really, really hot.
Yeah, it would have to be pretty hot for that to happen.
See, now I'm just imagining that this little town is plunged into its own little mini Great Depression because all their money's gone.
And they're sitting around.
Yeah, what else?
They're trying to figure out if they're in a wilderness. They're trying to figure out if they're in a forest.
Yeah, who's going to feed the prairie dogs?
They're trying to figure out who
so
the
ghost
is.
So the post office is gone. So they
can't
have
mail nobody.
No Christmas cards. The train depot. So they can't even get out of town. This is bad.
All they can do.
No wonder the ghosts came and attacked them.
Is work with their lead, apparently.
And what good does that? What are they using it for?
I don't know. It's just like this whole society. I'm surprised it didn't collapse.
It may have. Maybe this is why the ghost came.
We need
came.
More information.
I need
I'm
to
glad
know what
I have
here.
You on this case. Around 1913, coincidentally enough, is when the Ridgeway Fire Department was founded. And some say that this is when the ghost made his way out of town and towards the road we're talking about. Convenient how the fire department was established after the town burnt down. Seems like that's kind of the order of operations with these things.
Sounds reactive. Rather than proactive.
Gotta be proactive. It's more me than you, I guess. This specter has been described differently by different witnesses throughout the years. Its appearances have included a man with a whip, a dog, a sheep, a ball of fire, a headless horseman, and you always bring this up, an old woman and a young woman. So you say that women are not represented in these histories and tales, but
well,
here you go. There's two women.
Here she goes being probably dressed in white or all
well,
dressed in red.
Well, it doesn't say.
I'm sure it's one of those two.
Never blue.
Never purple.
Except for that last story we did on Patreon.
Never like a
lavender
dress. That would be
really fuchsia.
Cute. Yeah, it might be a little less scary.
Sequined.
So this thing appears in different forms. It's all
it
the same ghost?
It has appeared in different forms, and it's theorized that it's the same ghost.
How do they know this?
They don't.
Maybe there's a lot of different ones.
We'll get in a little bit more about how you can learn about the various appearances of this ghost.
So it only appears one at a time. There's never...
So far as I have read, it's always appearing. It has appeared to more than one person at a time, but it usually only appears as a singular entity of some type.
Okay.
The one thing that all the apparitions of the spirit hold in common is that the ghost will materialize from nothingness. Another thing that it has in common with many of its stories is that once it shows up, it usually attacks the person or person seeing it, and then just as suddenly disappears.
So he's like vengeful.
He's mad about something.
Yeah.
He got some anger issues.
That one that tried to kill me at the Marshall house. He just showed up.
You don't think he tried to kill you so much as he just like laid on your chest?
No, he tried to kill me.
Okay, he tried to kill you. How do you know it wasn't a she?
I told you it felt like a male.
It felt like a man.
Yes.
How do you know it wasn't just a really big and strong woman spirit?
No, it was definitely.
You smelled the perfume?
No.
You smelled the vengeance?
I told you, I've always been able to tell when someone's near me. And with the kids especially, I can feel which one of them it is. No matter, I don't have to see them. I can just tell by their presence. Yeah, I can tell.
Or with my bad old Leadfoot's walking around, you can tell.
Well, that's easy because you can hear it.
Yeah, here comes old Leadfoot. But,
like, I can feel Kirsten versus Ethan easily. Yeah. Just the something about a male and female presence is different.
I guess you may not hear what you're saying. I'm not out of tune to reality, so I don't know.
I don't know that everyone feels it, but certain people, I think, do.
Some people are more sensitive, I guess, than others, and I'm more sensitive in different ways. I'm, you know, very artistic and sensitive in the sense that, you know, I can be moved by really bad music.
You are very touched by the commercials about poor animals.
Don't talk about it. Let's talk about the encounters that have happened, or a few of them.
Okay.
One of the first recorded encounters with the spirit was by a Dr. Cutler from Dodgeville. He said that a ghost appeared on the pole of his wagon. And this story is probably one of the most well-known. And there's even an article from the 1902 New York Times that talks about this experience.
That's the big time.
It is indeed. The big New York time. Mm-hmm. The article says that he was driving homeward after a visit to a patient in the country and suddenly saw a dark figure seated on the pole between his horses. He dropped the reins and his horses sped away, cowards, of course, but the spirit wasn't affected by all the jostling. They went up and down a hill and then the specter vanished. This seems to be a story where the person seeing the creature wasn't attacked. Of course, hardly anyone believed the good doctor when he tried to report his experience. And in the article, it talks about this. It's an old article from this time frame, so they use some funny stuff. So this statement I thought was particularly humorous. He was known to love the flowing bowl, and his friend said he had taken a drop too much.
Okay, what is this in reference to? There are so many things.
What do you think it's in reference to? What does literally everyone in this city
do?
Well,
that's what my initial thought was, but they did it in a bowl.
It might have been opium. I don't know. We're going to go with it. He's got a snoot full.
When did the... That doesn't seem right.
It
everybody drink alcohol back then.
Good doctor riding around with his horses in the countryside. Who would have thought he'd take a little nip off the bowl? That would mean a whole different thing now, wouldn't it?
Yes.
The story says it was a dream. I guess that's 1900 speak for drunk as a skunk.
Okay.
He, however, claimed to be stone cold sober when this happened. He did say that about a year before this encounter, when he really was a little full, a.k.a. soused, when he was passing the same spot, he became aware of a dark and silent stranger sitting beside him in his carriage. He claims the stranger rode for a mile with him without saying a word. And I guess for a few minutes there, maybe they were best friends.
How awkward. Like, you're in the middle
of
nowhere.
He's a little drunk, so he's probably like Otis from the Andy Griffith Show. So, hey, buddy.
When did you get here?
You're not supposed to be here till Tuesday. And then the specter vanished. So he decided that visitation was from the same creature. The story of someone being killed, however, by the creature comes shortly after Dr. Cutler's encounter. John Lewis, who the article describes as the father of Evan Lewis, who was a famous wrestler at the time, was a farmer who lived near Ridgeway. He was described as, first thing they say in an article, he is sober. He is sober as the day is long.
I don't know many people that could fit that description, so I guess I see
a man of sober life.
Yeah.
Full of courage and with tremendous physical strength. That's where his son got it from, I guess. Big wrestler.
Okay.
He was going home one fall evening after spending the day helping a friend butcher some meat. It wasn't completely dark yet, and when he got near what the article is calling the haunted spot, he decided to cut across it to speed up his way home. He was approaching the stone wall at the roadside to climb it when he saw a figure that appeared out of nothingness. It said it was hovering there with a menacing attitude, as the article says.
Okay.
The story says that our friend John here had no enemies and that highwaymen were unknown to this part of the state. Now, I'm assuming highwaymen aren't like Kenny Rogers. It's probably people there to just take your wallet or kill you.
Yeah, I think that's what it is.
He thought someone must be trying to scare him, so he greeted the figure but got no response in return. The figure didn't move, but stood towering over him, a gigantic, grimacing form of darkness. It was so terrifying that John decided not to engage it, but he drew the butcher's knife out of his pocket and started to pass by. I guess he was scared enough. He's like, let me flash a little steel. He ain't gonna mess with me. As he was passing, it said the figure raised its arm with a forbidding gesture and stepped to block his path. The sudden movement caused John to just go crazy and stab at it with his knife, because that's what you do when you're scared of ghostly, grimacing, tall, dark, shadowy figures that get in your way. What happened after this directly, he wasn't sure, as he was flung through the air, pounded, and crushed into insensibility. Once again, terms from the article.
So he got slapped silly.
He got slapped down. He died a few hours after he was carried home, asserting with his dying breath that he had been attacked by something supernatural.
Wow.
After this, there were other encounters. A dressmaker encountered the ghost and was chased by it. It said that they died shortly thereafter because of the shock from the intense fright. And then, poor old Cutler himself seems to have been gotten by the ghost. He had another encounter and supposedly died of fright himself. Unfortunately, the article does not detail his last encounter with the ghost. But whatever it was, the third time was not the charm for good old Dr. Cutler. This ghost is so popular, it even has a website dedicated to its encounters. And you can find that website at www.w-files.com/files/ghridgeway.html.
That's a mouthful.
Rolls off the tongue. But I will have that link on the screen here, and I'll try to put it in the show notes too in case you'd like to go look at it. I encourage you to check it out because there are some interesting encounters logged on here. It's sort of like a Reddit, but old school HTML kind of web page with people talking about experiences that they had seeing this specter.
Okay, well, I see he's got his website, so that's one. That's pretty cool, but does he have a drink?
No, he does not have a drink named after him. I knew that was going to be your next. Well, I don't know. Maybe local bars do have a drink named after him. I did not interview local bars.
Well, then you did not do an exhaustive research.
And I'm a great kind of guy that does exhaustive research.
Yes.
So let's go into maybe what the origins of this ghost story might be caused by.
Okay.
There are several stories about what may have caused this creature to exist, and a few of the more interesting ones I found include, number one, a bar brawl. In the 1840s, there was a bar brawl in the village that happened due to the murder of a man. I guess people got mad about it, got a big fight, as you do when people kill a man. And you're going to have a fight in a bar.
It's almost as serious as getting into a fight at the Waffle House.
Exactly. And I really think
that. Didn't cook my grits, right?
I was right. Who got my hash browns? There aren't many details, but I'm sure there were quite a few brawls back then. And perhaps that might have been the origin of the ghost. The New York Times says in the article that I quoted earlier that perhaps the ghost is supposed to be the wraith of a man killed in the lead mining days preceding the Civil War. That one to me sounds like if there's something that's going to cause it, that's the most ghost story-ish kind of origin I could think of. There is one other thing I like, though, and that is dealing with the McKillop Saloon. In 1840, two brothers, aged 14 and 15, were murdered. There is no detail as to the motivation for the killings. However, one of the brothers was burned to death in the fireplace, and the other froze to death trying to escape the town. Maybe one of those two is the source of the Ridgeway Phantom.
Perhaps. I'm just wondering why it appears in so many different forms.
I don't know how ghosts work. Maybe their energy just presents itself differently to different people. I've never actually... Well, no, I can't even say that I haven't seen a ghost because I saw something at the Marshall House. I saw a big shadowy thing that I thought was a coat rack because it was so tall.
Yeah, that's what I saw, but it didn't really look like a fully formed person.
It didn't either. And the way it moved was weird. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like a human just walks by.
Yeah.
It's like it was there and then it was there.
Yeah.
But you could sense movement, but you couldn't really see the movement, but you could sense the movement. It was hard to explain. I've never experienced anything like it before and don't really want to experience it again.
Well, you're going to.
On Valentine's Day, we're staying in the most haunted room in one of the most haunted, which is basically every building in the entire city of Savannah. But we're definitely going to have a podcast about that. If not a whole episode, there will definitely be a segment about it.
Oh, yeah, for sure. It's going to be fun.
So that's the tale of the Ridgeway Phantom. So the next time you're up in Wisconsin,
which is quite often,
drop by and say hi. Just don't pull your butcher's knife, which of course everyone carries up there. And maybe, just maybe, you won't get beaten to death by the Ridgeway Phantom. So, Crystal, what do you think about our inaugural ghost tale? Do you think we should maybe keep doing these stories, or do you think that I should set them on fire?
I definitely think you should keep doing them. I thought it was interesting. I need to know more about these ghosts. Like, they need to update their Facebook page or something.
They really should get a social media presence.
Yeah, they need a bigger social media presence.
I'm like, I can help you with this. Let me become your PR agent, and I'll take just a small cut of your terrible powers.
Yeah.
And whatever it takes to materialize and dematerialize, it will. I mean, that's not a big ask.
And the only thing about this one with Ridgeway, all I can think of is Gary Ridgeway, who was the Green River Killer.
Okay.
Which is
well,
really
that was my first
me.
Thought, too, you know, since I have no idea who that is. But it was my first thought.
Yeah, so that just kind of kept confusing me because I'm seeing Gary Ridgeway killing people on a prairie with prairie dogs and there's no money in the bank.
Is it the woods? Is it a prairie? Is the town on fire? Is there a town anymore?
I think you
Why
should,
is there lead involved?
You should do some like little artist sketches of this to put on the screen so that I can get a visual of these next time. Like, I need to see all of
my artist sketch.
Yes.
Well, here's my crude pencil drawing right here. This, you see that over there? That's either a blob of plasma or a ghost. I'm not sure which.
Like, draw me a lead mine. Is it a mine? Is that where you...
I'll just draw the word lead in a circle around it. Be like, picture this is mine, and this is lead in the mine. It's basically a representation of exactly how this works.
It's got to be as good as the one we saw with that monster, remember?
This is an accurate eyewitness drawing of the Mothman.
Yeah.
He's like, well, you know, I've drawn in history textbooks my entire school career, and I think this is some of my finest work.
You're
not
going to
show you what's on page 15, though, because that's where the pyramids and Sphinx are, and nobody needs to see that. Okay, so thank you for joining us, and we'll talk at you next time.